No. Yamuna Tirava. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Bhavi. Nanda Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vana Chari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadari. Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tiravana Chari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tiravana Chari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tiravana Chari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Bhav Raja Kachari Asta Tadhara Sata Sishi Shamadhi Savayan Grace Sishi Bhakti Vedanta Paramahapad Ki Sankirtan Yoga Ki All Glories Assembled Devotees Gaura Premanandi Hari Hari Bo Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Buddhaya Shimite Ranasamat Nandagadabadi Shimite Vinasam Sankirtan. Nayanam namaskatana muntavaravatam devam sarasyat nyatam drojam riyat nastabarit sabadresu nityam bhagavaseva bhagavatim tamasloke bhavantat naishtagi om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Continue reading some Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 4, where are we at? Yeah, Canto 4, chapter 28, text 25. Vikshyamana Prashabham Yavanena Biliyasa Navinda Tamasavista Kayam Sridampuraha Vriksyamana Prasabam Yavanena Bliyasa Navinda Tamasavista Sakayam Sridampuraha Vrikshyamana Prasabam Yavanena Bliyasa. Navinda Tamasa Vista Sakayam Srihidam Puraha. The Krishna Prasadam. Vrikshyamana, being dragged. Prashabam, forcibly. Yavanena, by the Yavana. Baliyasa, who is very powerful. Naavindat, could not remember. Tamasa, by darkness of ignorance. Avista, being covered. Sakayam, his friend. Surhidam, always a well-wisher. Pura, from the very beginning. Translation. When King Paranjana was being dragged with great force by the powerful Yavana, out of his gross ignorance, he still could not remember his friend and well-wisher, the Supersoul. Please repeat. When King Paranjana was being dragged with great force by the powerful Yavana, out of his gross ignorance, he still could not remember his friend and well-wisher, the Supersoul. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In Bhagavad Gita 5:29, Lord Krishna says, Bhoktaram yagatapasam savalokamaheshvaram sriram sarvabhutanam yatvamam shantim ritchati. A person can be in full Krishna consciousness and become happy and satisfied if he knows but three things, namely, the Supreme Lord Krishna is the enjoyer of all benefits, that he is the proprietor of everything, and that he is the supreme friend of all living entities. So, quiz. What are those three things? Name one of them. Supreme enjoyer. Supreme friend of all living entities, proprietor of everything. And what is this formula called in Bhagavad Gita? The peace formula. If one does not know this and functions instead under the bodily conception, he is always harassed by the tribulations offered by material nature. In actuality, the Supreme Lord is sitting by the side of everyone. Ishvara sarva bhutanam riddhesya arjuna tishtati. Bhagavad Gita 18:61, the living entity and the supersoul are sitting side by side in the same tree. But despite being harassed by the laws of material nature, the foolish living entity is not turned toward the Supreme Personality of Godhead for protection. However, he thinks that he is able to protect himself from the stringent laws of material nature. This, however, is not possible. The living entity must turn toward the Supreme Personality of Godhead and surrender unto him. Only then will he be saved from the onslaught of the powerful Yavana or Yamaraj. The word Sakayam, friend, is very significant in this verse because God is eternally present beside the living entity. The Supreme Lord is also described as Sihridam, ever well-wisher. The Supreme Lord is always a well-wisher, just like a father or mother. Despite all the offenses of a son, the father and mother are always the son's well-wisher. Similarly, despite all our offenses and defiance of the desires of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord will give us immediate relief from all the hardships offered by material nature if we simply surrender unto him, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Mameva yibhadyante mayam metam tarantite. Unfortunately, due to our bad association and great attachment for sense gratification, we do not remember our best friend, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Could somebody give me a Bhagavad Gita, please? Thank you very much, Prabhu. Om Agyanate Manandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Yenatasmei Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Svabarantikam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Purport by translation repeated. When King Paranjana was being dragged with great force by the powerful Yavana, out of his gross ignorance he still could not remember his friend and well-wisher, the super soul. So to catch everybody up for people that haven't been in these classes lately, so Narada Muni, if I'm not mistaken, it's been a little while since I've read this part of it. Narada Muni is visiting King Pratinibarhi, and he sees how he's attached in his situation. He knows that if he preaches to him straight on, say, you fool, you're doing this and that, then he probably wouldn't get the medicine that Narada Muni would like to give him. So he uses, what is this called, an allegory? Of King, and he uses the story of this other king, Paranjana. And so he starts explaining King Pratinibarhi's situation in an indirect way. Because the king might be a little puffed up and might not be able to handle it. So, the previous verses is all about, I think that King Paranjana is leaving his body. Is that correct? Just kind of covered some of that, yeah. And now we are with King Paranjana. Yes, being forced with great force, dragged with great force by the powerful Yavana or Yamaraj. And still, out of his gross ignorance, does not remember Krishna. So, this is Mudha. Does not get it. He just does not get it. It is too dull. Bad association. Here it's saying, unfortunately, due to our bad association and great attachment for sense gratification, we do not remember our best friend, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Instead, what do we remember? You know, anything in this material realm. We take shelter of so many different things. What does it say in Bhagavad Gita 244. Who knows the Sanskrit for that one? I forgot it. I have to do more work on this. Bok Aishvarya Prashaktanam Dharatapati Sam Vyas Vyatmika Buddhi Samara Navadiyate. In the minds of those who are too attached to sense enjoyment and material opulence and are bewildered with such things, the resolute determination for devotional service to the Supreme Lord does not take place. This great attachment for sense enjoyment, material opulence, bad association. You know, Krishna is our dearmost friend. You know, we're not going to be peaceful unless we accept those threefold parts of the peace formula. One of them being Krishna is our dearmost friend. And if you just think about it a little bit, you might go, oh, I don't need Krishna. I've got my Sankirtan buddy here. You know, he provides everything for me and my temple president, you know, it's all cool that way. Or maybe you're in a married situation, oh, my sweetie pie and my little kids and stuff like that. Or whatever it might be. Some people take shelter of the government. They'll take care of me. I'll just get on welfare. Everything's cool. They'll protect me. But, you know, really, if we just think about even just a little bit, let's say you, I don't know, steal from a brahmana. What's the penalty for that? I think it's 10,000 or 25,000 years as a worm in stool. So I doubt your mate is going to go spend 25,000 years or whatever the penalty is as a worm in stool right by your side, cruising along with you, willing to go through that kind of life. And I guarantee your Sankirtan buddy will not do that either. The government, Mr. President, will not be there swimming as a worm in stool, just as a friend. Hey, how's it going? Just want to cheer you up, you know. Everything okay? Don't worry, it's only 19,000 more years left. No, but Krishna will be there. He'll be right there in your heart the whole way through, all the way through, giving you perfect guidance. Hey, eat that stool over there. That was from a Vaishnava. Your commitment, you know, your penalty will be lessened if you eat that. I'll drop 1,000 years off. Don't worry. You know, whatever it might be. So this is, you know, sorry about the gross analogy. But really, it's a nice example for us to realize how incredible Krishna is. You know, I remember some Vaishnavi, she mentioned in the class that Krishna is so kind. You know, this material world's a prison. And Krishna puts flowers in the prison, you know? I mean, the government doesn't do that. There's no flowers in that prison, really. It's just all gray, it's dark, it's really horrible, and very bad association. But Krishna, he gives us a prison, he does all kinds of nice things in the prison for us, really as our well-wisher, our ever will-wisher. Prabhupada sometimes wrote that at the end of his articles, right? His letters. Your ever will wisher, Srila Prabhupada. You know, the pure devotee, also an ever will wisher. So, going back to this, still, if we do not take up this process seriously, we're really not going to remember Krishna. And this is really what human life's all about. Our only job, again, is to remember Krishna. This is really what human life is. I was told by an Ekankar practitioner that Hue is a name for God. Hue, they chant Hue instead of Hare Krishna. I'm assuming he's correct. So human means, you know, God-man. Not that he's God, but he's the whole purpose of this design, the human design, is to perfect this remembrance of Krishna. To make it perfect, to perfect it. And so this is our real job, to always remember Krishna. And so we should arrange our life so that we always remember him. That's actually what Prabhupada says. Well, whatever we do, we just, everything that we do is just for the purpose of remembering Krishna. You might think, I remember when somebody told me to chant Hare Krishna, some devotee, I'm like, what's that going to do? Let's go feed some people. Let's go do something productive. But really, it's our only job. Prabhupada said regarding this book distribution or whatever, going out in the streets and chanting, this is the only reason why we're doing this, is so that the purpose for doing this is to realize that we're dependent on Krishna. Just like a child, he's thinking of mom. You know, mom, I need this, I need that. It can't survive without getting that milk. And it needs so many things. So we have to transfer our consciousness from remembering mom, or for Amadaji, I don't know how that gets transferred, but from remembering something material to remembering Krishna. This is the perfection of our lives. So everything in ISKCON, I sometimes tell people, because I hear, and I used to do this too, I don't recommend it, but I hear used to people complain about things within ISKCON, GBC's doing this, or whatever it might be. And, you know, it always left me with a bad taste in my mouth. And anyways, and I don't recommend this process of, you know, just because everything in ISKCON, it might be, for example, when I first went to the Tucson Temple, the guy behind the counter was stealing money from the cash register and using it for sense gratification, I assume. And I had a cash register experience. So I could go in there and go, hey, this is wrong. This is horrible. ISKCON's bad. This is going on. Or I could see it as Krishna's arrangement for me to take that position. You know, Krishna's just going, oh, also I had some handyman experience. And guaranteed, anytime I like space out for my book distribution or something, sure enough, there's a leaky faucet there. It just starts leaking automatically, it seems like, really. One time, you know, I had a little bit of martial experience, and this guy starts walking out of the video, the library with a television set. I'm like, what are you doing? You know, stealing a television? Oh, you know. So Krishna has his ways of, I could complain about management isn't good here because all this is happening, or whatever. I could go into that world. But really, if I have some intelligence, I'm going to say, this is Krishna's arrangement so that I can remember Krishna, so I can do some devotional service. He puts me in a situation, like an emergency situation, so that I take to his service, so that I can remember him and perfect this smarnam. So I like to tell everybody that ISKCON, it might not be what you have in your minds of how it's supposed to be, but it is how it is really supposed to be. It is a society where you always remember Krishna. You might go, why is this new bhakta or why is this temple president doing this to me? But you're remembering Krishna. And that's Krishna's plan, so that you will remember him always. That's what's going on. So that you don't get complacent. You don't go, oh, my buddies will take care of me like usual. Oh, here comes the prasad. Yes, yes, yes. Hey, where's the prasad? You know, or whatever it might be. If you always remember Krishna and be dependent, you realize that you're dependent on Krishna. That's the value of ISKCON. And that's the one of the purposes of ISKCON. Is so that we always remember Krishna. And it might not be in your mind what you ideally think it should be. But what is that? That's just some comfort. Comfort, some imaginatory comfort that will only leave you to a heavenly planet, really. So that comfort we don't want. We want pure love of God. So this is what we want to go for. Pure love of Krishna. Then that's how the world is in Goloka Vrindavan. And this is a whole society of taking sincere living entities back to the topmost situation, which is Goloka Vrindavan. Pure love of God we're after. We can never predict Krishna. Who was it that was saying yesterday to me that that's what I love about book distribution? It can be any service. Bhrigupati also says that, you know, go out on book distribution and you realize that Krishna is a person. The things that happen to you out there are so beyond bizarre that it just can't be a... God has to have a personality to be able to arrange these tricks in your life. Like this one devotee, he's really puffed up. He says, yeah, I can do this book distribution. Give me some of those books. He goes out there, and he couldn't stop anybody for like 2 hours chasing after people and everything. I'm sure many people have experienced that. I certainly did last week. I got really puffed up, and I made some mental offenses, and nothing happened at all. And so this guy was just so exhausted after 2 hours, and he just leans up against the post. This is a true story. And a little dog comes up to him, looks at him, pees on his leg, looks at him again, and kind of like, and runs away. So like, you know, this isn't possible unless, you know, and then while you're trying to distribute a book, the other people are distributing tons of literature, let's say. You realize, wait, there's a direct correlation between what's going on in my head, in my heart, and what's going on, you know, with the outside world. I mean, it's a direct correlation. One time I was distributing books, And I had such a difficult day. I just said, these people will never take a book. And I just approached this guy right in front of me. These guys will never take a book. And the second I said that with real conviction, because I was in a tough area or whatever, that guy stopped in his tracks immediately, turned around to me and goes, how much is it? I'm like, don't mess with me, man. No, how much is it? I want it right now. I'm like, come on, man, don't mess with me. I just, here, you can have it for free, whatever. No, I want to give you a donation. Did you take the book away? I was so struggling. He gave me like a 10 or a 20 or something. I'm like, oh, I know how to do book distribution. No way, nobody. I did it right again. Okay, that worked. So I just went, no way, nobody ever is going to take a book. And sure enough, this guy, a little slower though, he kind of stops and goes around and goes, are you the guy distributing the books? I'm like, oh man, this really works. I've got the secret to book distribution. And then he was a little more challenging, but he took the book. And then I said, and I just kind of coasted in the zone of heavenly comfort world that we all have a tendency to go for. I said, oh, no problem. I can control Krishna now. I can do this book distribution. So I said, no way, nobody ever is going to take a book. I didn't even try. I was just like, come on, okay, somebody's going to come out. And nobody did. So then you realize, oh, because Krishna is just demanding pure surrender. That's all he's doing out there. You know, just so that we're dependent on Krishna. So we go out there, not depending on Krishna, depending on our nice bank balance or whatever else. And then we don't like Sankirtan. We don't like this program. Vijay, he says, why do people give up book distribution? You know, he says it's because a mirror is being shoved in front of your consciousness, in front of your face the whole time. And you don't like what you see. And you don't like this concept that we have to surrender to God. That we aren't the supreme controller. That we don't have control of anything. We can't even move our little pinky if we want to. We have to request, Krishna, can I please move my little pinky? And then he can agree or not. And he might want to move it a certain way that you don't want to have it moved. And then one of 33 or more million demigods move your finger. So we can't do anything. And we're dependent on Krishna. And the beauty of this whole Sankirtan is for us to realize our dependency on Krishna. And that is what everybody's chanting, you know, in the spiritual world. It's not like the means to an end, but the end and the means is the same. Chanting of Hare Krishna mantra is what everybody's doing in the spiritual world. I was with my guru in Mayapur, and every year I ask him, I get to see him for like a minute a year, which is fine with me, and I just ask him, how may I serve you? So one time he goes, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. All the time. I'm like, ooh, okay, alright, I'll go for it. I start chanting Hare Krishna. So the next year I came back and he says, chant Hare Krishna, because I wasn't so happy. I was like, purification, a lot of purifications. And then I asked him again next year, how may I serve you? Chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Oh, happy part. I could tell the stress on the happy part. So I'm missing out on the happy part. So chant Hare Krishna and be happy. It's a very simple process. The next time I asked him how may I serve you, he said, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. And then he figured I got a little bit of that to some degree that he was somewhat happy with. And then he starts going into how every molecule, atom in this holy dham is chanting the holy name of Krishna. That the pastimes are eternally there that we can tap into and everything. And just when he said it, it had such, you know, when gurus say things, it just goes right to the heart. And you can get realization. And it's just wonderful. So this is every atom there is depending, is fully dependent on Krishna. Always calling out the holy name of Krishna. And we can't expect to get it right away. We can't force our subtle body and ourself to just totally get it. Because this one sannyasi, he was gave this wonderful class, Dur Darshan. He's not a sannyasi anymore, but he gave this class of one time he was preaching in some place like the Middle East, and it was extremely hot, and he passed out. And he describes the spiritual process similar to when he was awaking from when he was passed out. So he basically was on the ground, I guess, for some time, and people were all gathered around him, and he basically, they put water over him or something, and he barely opens his eyes and sees this black thing in front of him. He's like, what is this? He's trying to figure it out. Seemed like it took like 10 minutes for him to figure out, what is this? And he goes, oh, that's a shoe. Oh, that's a shoe. Well, what is a shoe doing in front of my face? And he realizes, oh, wait, I think I'm lying horizontal. And he goes and looks around. There's a whole lot of people looking over at me. And it took him, seemed like it took like hours for him to get this recollection that, oh, I passed out. Oh, why? How did that happen? Oh, the heat. It took him a long time to figure it out. So this is what we have to give, or not be too hard on ourselves, but give ourselves some mercy and others mercy and grace and acceptance of where we're at and where other people are at, and just apply the process, because the process works. This is the ripening process. If you're always engaged in devotional service, you're a mango, like as they say. You're a pure devotee, but you might be a green mango, and Prabhupada is a perfectly ripe mango. So there's only one, the only difference, both are pure devotees, but the only difference is time. And if we take to the process, truly take to the process as Prabhupada has prescribed the process, that's all that Krishna wants. That's it. That's surrender. And if we just simply surrender, whether we think it's going to work or not, it doesn't even matter, because it does work. So we should, if we have good intelligence, which, unlike this King Paranjana, who's going, no, obstinately, what is it, Martin Luther King said, obstinate ignorance is the most dangerous thing. You know, when people go, no, I want to be ignorant. I said, that's the most dangerous thing. I kind of agree. You know, so this, we take to this Krishna consciousness intelligently, and we transcend the mental plane. We actually realize the absolute world. We realize the absolute nature of everything. We realize Krishna. And we respect all living entities. We see everything as part of Krishna. Then we want to treat everything as wonderful. And we can very quickly finish up here. But we must take to the sadhana bhakti like anything. Otherwise, how are we surrendering? We're doing our own program. This independence. Why are we independent? Because we're not thinking, we're thinking the same way as King Paranjana is thinking. Due to our bad association and great attachment for sense gratification, we do not remember our best friend, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that is why many of us make vows of poverty. That is why many of us are choosing whatever brahmachari life, that's not necessary. But it forces one to focus on where that eternal nectar is. And there's been plenty of household examples of pure devotees. That's not an issue. But you can create restrictions in your life that are recommended, that is not heavenly, so that you won't go to heaven, you'll go to Goloka Vrindavan. Of course, we have the four regs, you know, as a simple example. You can also create the things in your mind that no matter what. Prabhupada says all initiated devotees must rise before 4 a.m. Another restriction. Boom. And then we begin to love restrictions because we're starting to get the nectar. Yeah. Circumambulate the temple 3 times a day. It's another one. So many things. We bow down. There's certain ways to bow down to max out the nectar. You know. So many things, so many details. And then we end up loving chastisements. Prabhupada asked the devotees, how do you know an advanced devotee when you see one? Prabhupada's answer that none of the devotees got was, he's always ready to be chastised by his spiritual master. He loves to be chastised. Because with that time and attention, not that he tries to be bad, but he's trying to be good, but guru is heavy. He's always chastising him. He's making radical progress, rapid progress. So, fine-tuning our Krishna consciousness so that we're maxing out that progress at every single moment, every single moment. I'll leave you all with one little story. Maybe you've heard it. You hear about the guru that took his disciple on a swim in the Ganges River? Okay. A lot of you guys have heard all these stories 10 times that have been in the vans. But it's good. This is like, Brigapati calls me a fundamental Hare Krishna. Let's get the basics really down and then go gradually. And he takes sees his disciple slacking off. So the guru goes, hey, let's go for a swim. And the disciple's like, oh, I get to go swim with Guruji. Wee! This guru took him out there, grabbed him by the hair, or tzika, or whatever, and dunked him under there and didn't let him up. And he's fighting. He's going, oh, well, Guruji's playing with me. And pretty soon he's going, oh, air? And he's starting to struggle really hard and more and more. And like bubbles are coming up. And he's like kind of almost twitching a little bit maybe. And finally he lets him up. And he goes, Guruji almost killed me. And he goes, what were you thinking down there? I was thinking of air. Did you have one pointed attention for this air? Or were you thinking of something else? No, I was only thinking of air. Jai, that's how you should always be in Krishna consciousness. You should always be with that same way, thinking of Krishna, always. That's how we have to apply ourselves. Otherwise, we let Mayan. One last analogy, sorry. There's a little comic strip frame of in the desert, it gets really cold at night. It's like 90 degrees during the day. It can be like 30 degrees at night. And there's a guy taking his camel across the desert. And at night, it gets cold, so he sets up this tent. So he's sleeping in the tent. And the camel's outside the tent. And the next frame, and he's happy. In this next frame, he wakes up and he sees the camel head inside the tent. You know, and he's like, I can tolerate that. The next picture is the camel's got like 2 feet in front in the tent, and the camel and the head in the tent. He's like, let's move over. It's all right. And then the next frame is the camel's in the tent. And he's outside the tent. So this is how Maya works. But if we have this, we go, I don't have to struggle so much. It's okay. Then Maya comes in. And we think, it's okay. Pretty soon, you don't have any time to chant any rounds. You're just, you know, breaking regs. You just one, it's okay. You know, whatever we're thinking. But if we're just 100% determined, Prabhupada's, why not have an easy Krishna conscious life? Prabhupada said, it is easy for those who are determined. And it is difficult for those who are not. Why not simply always be full on determined, 100%. Never getting out of the ring. My dad gave me a nice thing. He said, the only difference between a prize fighter and a fighter is the prize fighter always gets back up. So if you just stay in the ring and just always get back up, you'll have the easiest time in Krishna consciousness. And you won't go to heaven. You go to Goloka Vrindavan. Guess I can stop there. Any comments or questions? I'm sorry, I was just asked to give class 2 minutes before class time, so I was didn't have much time to prepare. Please forgive me. Yes, Boo.
Hare Krishna, Boo. I was wondering if you could speak a little bit more about the point that you were making about how what we're feeling inside has a direct correlation with what's going on in the outside world when you're out doing book distribution or any other service for that matter.
Sure, it's all about consciousness. We are conditioned to think that, no, it's not consciousness, it's the material arrangement. I'm not having a good day today on book distribution because it's cold out or because I'm in a bad spot. Or my roommates are giving me a hard time today. It's their fault. Or this temple president, I don't like him because, you know, he's not giving me sweet nothings all day long. This is bad. This is a bad situation. It's all their fault. It's all the external fault. It's all these mudhas out there. You know, whatever it might be. We're thinking materially. So, but as we truly take to the process, we just don't have energy to, because it's a hetu kiya pratyata. It's all the time. There's never a break. So you don't have time to indulge in this negative kind of thinking or materialistic thinking. So then we start seeing how everything's a matter of consciousness. Like Vijay said, everywhere is a good spot on book distribution. Everywhere is a good spot if we have good consciousness. It's really true. We might think, oh, there's nobody here. Oh, look, I got to go walk 20 yards, 200 yards just to get to somebody. Brigapati, he was dropped off in the old days, I think, during Radha Damodar thing, and they would drop him off. He was dropped off weekday in this one shopping place, and there was like an old lady 200 yards over there. Nobody else around. So he goes, okay, do my service. Runs over there. Offers her old lady a book. She takes the book and gives him $20. So he's just applying the process. And then, see, there's an old man way over there. Runs over there. Another $20. He's describing this day. This is his day. And by the end of the day, he did great. But there was hardly anybody there. I mean, it was obviously just like, God, what did he drop me off here for? Another sample of this is Devamrita Swami Maharaj. He's got a black body. He's asked to preach in Russia when they had the Iron Curtain up. And he's like, this authority doesn't know what he's talking about. I got to explain. You know, I don't think you realize my body is black. Everybody's white there. Within probably a month, they'll kill me or put me in one of those camps where I just die a miserable death. I don't know if that's the best use of my energy, you know. And he's like, no, I think you should do it. No, we want you to do it. He's just going, man, you gotta be kidding me. So he just did it. And he said that Krishna made him invisible. One time, KGB time, they all, one member of the house, a son, said, oh, my parents are gone away. We'll have a meeting here, you know. And so they have like a secret meeting in the kid's house, and got invited a bunch of people from the town that's interested in Krishna consciousness. And the mother came, so they're having this meeting, this class or whatever, and the mother comes in and she goes, oh no. She was supposed to be gone, but I guess her plans changed. And she was part of the KGB. And she just looked, back then I guess they didn't have, I don't know, whatever. All she did was walked into the house, stared at everybody's, got right in front of their face for about 1 minute each, memorized all their features and stuff, went to the next one. And when she got to Devamrita Swami Maharaj, her eyes rolled back and she could not see. And then when she finished there, she's like kind of bewildered and walked out. And then the person next to her, she never saw you. Krishna didn't give her seeing power. This happened, many things like this happened many, many, many times. So, this is just a matter of, we surrender the process as the process is prescribed, and we get the result. It's nothing to do with anything material. It transcends this mental plane and all of our conceptions. And we realize Krishna. And the more we do it, the more subtle we get. When I first joined Dasarath, two temple president, Tucson, I would have a thought in class, and he would, it was only like three of us in class, small temple, and he would just adjust the class to what I'm thinking. He could read my mind perfectly. And I just realized that, okay, I can't mess with this guy. I just surrender. Okay, what do you want me to do? You know, that's, I can only apply the process. Krishna just forced me to realize, by his mercy, he gave me the understanding that without surrendering, I can't get anywhere. I just spin my wheels. And then we just get more and more in tune. It's just a tuning. It's like Prabhupada says, there's a television in the heart. It's all staticky. It's broken. You know? So we do take up the process, and gradually gets repaired. Krishna's in there. We can talk to him. He can talk to us. We can see him. All those things. So as we advance, we start realizing we're just dealing with Krishna. We're not dealing with this person that's separate from Krishna. We're just dealing with Krishna all day long, and Krishna is just reciprocating, reciprocating with us with where we are in our minds. That's all that's going on. Like one time Prabhupada says, even an atom bomb is Krishna. Not very nice form of Krishna coming at you, but it's Krishna. We just have to apply these teachings, and we realize what Prabhupada's saying in here, that everything is Krishna, and he's a person. He's funny. I hope that answered your question somewhat. Is that okay? Yes, Prabhu? You had a question, Bali? Here it's coming.
Vijay said, it doesn't matter where the synchrotron spot is, it's all about our consciousness. So I have two questions.
Well, he said everywhere is a good spot if we have good consciousness.
Okay, everywhere is a good spot if we have good consciousness. So the first question is, what is a good consciousness?
What is good consciousness? What is good consciousness?
What is good consciousness?
Yeah, I think the best form of what is good consciousness is the Science of Self-Realization book. I read it last night. Who wasn't here during the lecture last night? So I can, just one, two, okay. Well, it says, Prabhupada, in the arrival address, you can read it, I think it's at least page 244 of the paperback. The last part of it is about 8 little paragraphs, and he says, I am unqualified, I am the most fallen, I am useless, I'm completely useless unless Krishna, he wants them delivered. But he knows he's powerless without Krishna's help. So he's praying to Krishna for, please, if you sent me here, your authorities have sent you out on book distribution or whatever, okay, you sent me out here, I want them delivered, Krishna, but I need your help to do that. So Krishna, I am unqualified, I'm most fallen, lowest of the low, useless without you, Krishna. Please empower me. Please make me your... Please let me be your puppet, Krishna. Make me dance, make me dance, make me dance. Please make my power of speech so that they can understand your message. You know, I'll be your instrument now and forevermore. And that's all. Please use me for what you want. That's good consciousness. I think that's, in thinking about it with the time, I would say that's excellent consciousness, the perfect consciousness, and we start our Sankirtan day that way and try to keep that. Don't take the credit. When I was on book distribution in LA, it's kind of new, and man, somebody would throw me a 20, I get all puffed up, and then no books would go out for a half hour. And I'd be like, this is a drag. So I kind of learned my pattern. Okay, somebody gives me a big bill, so I just started to go, somebody would give me money, I'd go, Krishna, thank you for your mercy. It's your mercy, Krishna. That it's not my whatever that I didn't do it. It's your mercy, Krishna. I pray for more of your mercy, Krishna. So I give the credit instantly back to Guru and Krishna. At least try to. And then the flow could continue. Yes.
So we pray that I have no qualification, Krishna. Please use me as your instrument. I want everyone to have a book. I want to have compassion. I have compassion for these people. But say no books go out. Say that I've seen a lot of great souls, Sankirtan devotees, and they can be completely fried out or really disheartened if it's not a good spot or if they don't have a good day. Because a lot of times we're used to having a really great day. And so that it doesn't happen. Say it happens a lot, then do we be attached to this or do we get all down? Or do we realize, this is actually Krishna's arrangement? So is that good consciousness?
Well, Prabhupada also say that the Sankirtan devotees are thinking, Where is venue? So they're researching where's the best venue. That's definitely a part of it. They're going, but once that decision is made, it turns out it's not to be the best situation that you'd prefer to have, and it's too much trouble to find another spot. So you're going to work it. Then, as Navina Nirada says, he says, use everything as fuel. So getting down on yourself, you're kind of like using not things as fuel, but as the opposite. Right? Like, oh, I'm bummed. No, don't go into that world. You know, all the winners, all the super sales guys, all these guys or whatever, businessmen, they don't trip themselves up. They use everything as fuel. They'll always have that confidence, endeavoring with confidence, right? Great determination and confidence. And sure enough, like here, out here, Saturday, I was going, oh man. Well, you'll find how much of a rascal I am. I go out there and I just said, oh, forget this. I'm going to take the day off and just catch up on the computer work that I got to do. And then I thought, oh man, this guy from Milwaukee's coming down here to distribute with me. I can't leave him, you know? And it's like, okay, so force me to stay out there, right? So Krishna's tricky, you know? So I had to stay out there. And then, oh man, here he is. I'm doing really bad. Oh my God. But sure enough, I mean, Krishna arranges things. The very new person starts distributing books. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Got me inspired. And I'm supposed to inspire them, teach them how to distribute books. So Krishna can arrange anything at any time. But I knew that, okay, this is good for me. This is my purification. I must be puffed up. I must be a little bit of heavenly consciousness. And Krishna's just purifying me. In fact, one of the first people that came up to me said, my buddy got a book from you. I remember you from years ago. A small world, I can't believe it. And he just goes, my buddy got a book from you. You changed, that book changed his life forever. Man, you took a 180-degree turnaround. And I said, well, would you like one? Yes, for sure. Would you read it front to back? Yes, absolutely. Can I have a donation? I don't have one. What am I supposed to do, take the book back from him at that point? No. So Krishna knew that I maybe had a little too much Lakshmi or whatever, and I had to give out a lot of free books at the start, you know? So that's okay. Whatever it is, you know? But I knew that this is just Krishna. I've been through this so many times. Okay, this is purifying me. I'm out here. What else am I going to do with my day? Might as well just stick it out, get purified. Maybe I'll learn something, you know, how to better do streets. And sure enough, books started going out. Krishna sent me over down this alley and that alley or whatever, and just here I am in this nice, sweet spot. People started taking books. You know, oh, here I am talking about the material circumstances. But maybe my consciousness changed a little bit after getting like a little unpuffed after having a lot of no success. But you are looking for the best venue at the same time. But always endeavoring in the mode of goodness. For example, we go to the sweetest spots, but the people living in one city, they don't have those sweetest spots to choose from all the time. Sometimes they go into grasses that have been chewed quite a bit, you know? So now how are we going to go in there and inspire people and tell them, hey, you should go out there and preach, if we go out there and we go, oh, this ain't worth it, I'm going to go and just work on my computer, right? So you're not going to have much potency if you're going to end up doing seminars and things like that. And come on, guys, let's go out. Plus, you might not have the skills. And then if you go out there when you're not doing that much, you're going to get all depressed maybe or whatever. We got to think of a bigger picture. That we have to be an example. And if you can get to the point where you can go out there in like a place like here and not get bummed out, then you can teach other people how to do that. And then the movement will really spread in a bigger way. I think that's the best I could share with that. And we got to think of these big, much bigger pictures like that.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you for class. When you mentioned arranging our lives so that I never forget Krishna, what does that entail? I mean, it's not just taking a day planner that may be part of it, but can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, honestly, in my neophyteness, I really think it is about a day planner. I really do. In fact, I read somewhere in Nectar of Devotion in my early months in Krishna consciousness that gave me so much hope for myself. Because it talks about, you just simply do the activity, you'll make it. And I thought, because I didn't want to hear, oh, it's all about, you know, subtle things that you can't measure, that, you know, like, whatever else. This is measurable stuff. I did the activity for an hour. Okay, I did that program. I spoke those syllables. I heard the syllables. Like that. Rather than, you will get the benediction if you really were super, if you really, really were attentive and you loved me perfectly and all that. I don't know about that subtle world. So, you know, that's super advanced stuff. So I'm really a fan of just, it is about a day planner. It is about filling our day with only Krishna conscious activities. And then I'll give you some backings for what I'm sharing, you know, some big personalities that support in some way at least what I'm talking about. And that is Dhanavira Maharaj. He's known to have the best bhakti. We wrote the book on a bhakti program. In the old days, he used to have extreme success with bhakti programs. And we started one in Kansas City. And he says that the schedule carries you. He says, don't worry about all this little subtle stuff. The schedule will carry you. And because the schedule is packed. You don't have a moment in your life for anything to get on that mental plane. It's just doing and doing and doing. And I'm a huge fan of that. It honestly has worked for me. It's been my saving grace. But certainly, I'm sure there'll be many gurus like my guru, Rana Swamiraj, who will start talking about, and there's so many other aspects, like making sure that we're doing this for the right reason. You know, our purity of purpose is there. In other words, we're doing this to please Krishna, and what's the process? Being a servant of a servant, okay. The servant that I'm serving, the master that I'm serving is, who is a servant of Krishna, is given me these, this filled my day with these activities. So that has to be there too. We can't, unless we're super advanced, and we're given that, or maybe not just super advanced, perhaps our authorities give us that freedom because we know we can responsibly handle it where we set our own schedule. But still, that's still being a servant of a servant because our authority has given us permission to do that. So, being a servant of a servant has to be there. And filling our day so we don't have any time. I saw a little thing on the in the San Diego ashram. It says, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, no holidays, no breaks, sheer bliss. That's what it said. It was like, it's something that really just checkmated the mind in all of our rascaldom. You know? Yeah. I don't know. I'm sure I can answer a lot more. Yep. Any other little other aspect? Really, I mean, because Prabhupada, like for example, what I read yesterday, Prabhupada says, it is your duty to go out. They're not coming to you. It is your duty to go out and endeavor for Krishna. And Krishna is writing down this endeavor. That is what's required. It's not like you have to make 10 devotees. Prabhupada didn't say you make 10 devotees and you go back home to Godhead. No. He says that's not the process. You don't have to make certain that he became a devotee. You have to do your duty, though. And by doing this, we really get into those, what Bhagavad Gita describes as motive goodness stuff, you know, where we just do it as a duty. And then we transcend. We get the taste. We have to be steady, right? To get the ruchi, the taste. So how are we going to be steady? We have to just do it, no matter what. Whether we want to or not, whether we're depressed or elated, whatever, we just do it. I don't feel inspired. Who cares? That's mental plane stuff. Just do it. Once we do that, then we get the taste. Then comes the even more wonderful stuff. I don't know. That's my take on it in my neophyte stage. And I'm sure if asking that question to some guru or something, you'll get a lot more. But that's as best as I can do at this point. Hare Krishna. It's getting kind of late. probably ought to stop. I'm sorry, I probably went 15 minutes over. No? We usually stop at 8:30-ish? Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srimad Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Premanam ki jai.
Schedule.